The headlines. The Israeli military says it has launched artillery attack on southern Lebanon after several rockets were fired toward Israel. Israeli forces razed to the ground about 20 shops belonging to Palestinians in Al-Quds, the latest in a series of demolitions in the occupied territories. Also in the headlines, India reports nearly 43,000 new coronavirus infections, pushing the total caseload to nearly 32 million. Thanks for joining us. The Israeli military says it has shelled areas inside Lebanon three times in response to an alleged rocket attack. Israeli media reports say that the military shelled Lebanon three times in the span of 2 hours. This comes after three rockets were reportedly fired from Lebanese soil and landed into northern Israel on Wednesday, prompting sirens. The regime's military has blamed armed Palestinian groups inside of Lebanon for the rocket fire, but no group has yet claimed responsibility. There's also been no reports of any casualties or damage. Over the past years, the Israeli military has repeatedly shelled areas within Lebanon, violating the country's airspace, prompting fierce criticism from Beirut. Mariam Saleh joins us from Beirut to tell us more about this. And Mariam, at this point, what do you have for us?
What I can tell you about what's happening in South Lebanon, if you can hear me, basically the Israeli military has fired around four rounds of shelling all across the bordering areas, and they have mentioned it in their media, their plan was to make sure that they shelled all the bordering villages, and the last round caused massive fires in olive trees near the border. You have the United Nations interim forces in Lebanon have also called for restraint, and they are saying that they are also evacuating their areas and their posts on the borders, of course, on the southern border of Lebanon. So basically what we have so far is that's it. So it seems the Israelis have continued with that shelling for some four rounds. All that was a result of around three rogue rockets. We're talking about two rockets that probably landed in the area of Kiryat Shemona. We have one rocket that landed even in Lebanese lands, causing absolutely perhaps no casualties. And still the Israelis continued with their shelling after a meeting between the Prime Minister and the Defense Minister. It seems that it will stop at that because this is not the first incident that we have in South Lebanon this year. We've had several continuous incidents since the war on Gaza, since the sword of Al-Quds battle. So this is an issue that could probably continue. The Israelis have said they accuse some Palestinian groups, but no group so far has admitted or said that they are responsible for this issue. The Israelis themselves have said that they don't believe Hezbollah is behind this, because Hezbollah has perhaps bigger issues at hand right now, unless, of course, the Israelis do launch a full attack and there are casualties, and therefore Hezbollah has pledged that they would retaliate, of course, in the way they see necessary.
Okay, thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. Mariam Saleh there, thank you for the information there. We appreciate it. Let's move on. Israeli forces have demolished several shops belonging to Palestinians in the occupied Al-Quds. Israeli forces, accompanied by bulldozers, razed to the ground about 20 shops in Hizma, northeast of Al-Quds. It's the latest in a series of demolitions carried out by Israel against Palestinian homes and facilities in the occupied territories. Israel claims that the structures lack construction permits. This is while such documents are nearly impossible to obtain. Palestinians say that the demolitions are part of Israeli efforts to expand its settlements that are illegal under international law. Palestinian children in the Gaza Strip are not able to continue their education due to the latest Israeli war on the besieged enclave. Now, the aggression has left at least 260 Palestinians dead, among them 66 children. Until today, many of them are still suffering from nightmares. Ruba Shebit has more from Gaza.
Following the latest Israeli escalation over the Gaza Strip that left more than 200 people dead, including women and children, Palestinians in the Gaza Strip are still recovering the psychological consequences of the war. Almost 600,000 students have suffered a significant learning loss. In conjunction with the announcement of the Palestinian high school Tawjihi scores, 18 students from Gaza are not around to receive their scores as they were killed by the Israeli airstrikes. Khaled Al-Qanwa', a Palestinian student who was supposed to be receiving his high school scores this year, was killed by the Israeli airstrikes, leaving his family grieving.
I remembered Khaled today when I saw other students. Khaled was supposed to be with us today, celebrating his success and distributing sweets like other people. I saw Khaled's mates when they were having their exams, and I felt happy that Palestinians still insist on living their life even after wars and losses. I wish Khaled was here, but I believe that by knowledge, Palestinians will take revenge for Khaled, and his death won't go in vain.
The release of the test scores is usually met with parties, fireworks, and gifts, but due to the crisis in Gaza, many Palestinian students are not celebrating their success.
I have three of my sons who finished high school, and we celebrated with them. There were always atmospheres of happiness when my son succeeded. I wish Khaled was here so we could celebrate with him. He would have been something important. This time, the Israeli occupation stole my happiness. I feel his loss in all ceremonies. Whatever the Israeli regime does with its crimes and killings, we will remain patient, and we won't give up this land.
Subhi Abulauf, who has lost most of his family members in the Israeli airstrikes, is also among the students who were deprived from pursuing high school, as he is traumatized by his loss.
Those are really hard times for me while students are happy for their success, being around their families. I've lost my mom, my sister, and my home, and I couldn't continue going to school. There is no place for happiness. My cousin and I were supposed to be celebrating like our mates, but Tawfiq and my family are not around, and I'm not capable of continuing my education.
Many Palestinian students in the Gaza Strip who have lost their homes and family members are not able to carry on with their test for the time being, due to the state of depression and instability they are in following the war over Gaza. Roba Shavit, Gaza.
Moving on, Iraqi security sources say that a roadside explosion has hit a convoy carrying logistics for the U.S.-led coalition in the southern province. There were no immediate reports of damage or casualties. No group has claimed responsibility, which happened in Deghar province. Last week, two other logistics convoys for the coalition were targeted in separate attacks in Deghar and Qadisiyah provinces. Convoys for U.S.-led forces and American diplomat compounds have come under repeated attacks in the past months amid rising anti-U.S. sentiments in the Arab country. The UK Maritime Trade Operations says that a potential hijack of a Panama-flagged vessel off the coast of the UAE has ended. The security agency said that the ship is safe and boarders have left the tanker. Did not give any details in its warning notice. On Tuesday, maritime sources said the Asphalt Princess tanker had been seized off the coast of the United Arab Emirates. They've accused Iran of being behind the incident. The spokesman for the Iranian military dismissed the anti-Tehran allegations. Brigadier General Abul Fazl Shekarchi said Israel and its allies from the region and beyond are waging a media war against Iran using psychological warfare and creating pretexts for adventurism. The commander-in-chief of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps says that the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan is a complete failure for Washington, 20 years after its occupation of the country.
This is a complete failure for the Americans, who are returning to the point where they started from 20 years ago. The Americans have only brought insecurity to Afghanistan and created a dangerous situation, like a civil war there. Washington's strategy is to establish a country without any government there, and in that situation, only the oppressed Afghan civilians are the ones who bear the brunt of the wrong U.S. policies.
Salami said that the U.S. presence in West Asia violates national sovereignty and the integrity of the regional countries. He said the U.S. has failed to change the security situation and the political spectrum, and that is a reflection of pursuing wrong approaches for 20 years. The IRGC commander said that the Americans have never sought progress in that country, and they brought destruction wherever they stepped in. India reports more than 42,600 new coronavirus infections, pushing the total caseload to nearly 32 million. The figure is nearly 40% higher than the previous day. Health authorities say the 560 people also succumbed to the disease in the past 24 hours, bringing the total number of fatalities to over 425,000. A number of states, including Mizoram, Karnataka, Puducherry, and Kerala, are among those hit hard by the pandemic. This is while some states are expected to lift the restrictions put in place to curb the outbreak. COVID-19 pandemic continues to take its toll on Asia, with a number of countries reporting new infections and related fatalities. Indonesia recorded 1,700 daily fatalities on Wednesday, pushing its overall death toll to more than 100,000. The country's health ministry also registered nearly 36,000 new infections, taking the total caseload to over 3.5 million. Neighboring Thailand reported new records in both daily cases and deaths. Thai officials said that over 20,000 people contracted the disease, while 188 people died of the virus in the past 24 hours. Elsewhere, China reported 71 new infections, its highest daily case in 6 months. The infections have been largely blamed on the Delta variant, which was first detected in India. A British Muslim NGO has begun a legal challenge against the Conservative government over a controversial letter sent to UK schools warning teachers against pro-Palestine activity from students. This pending legal battle could decide the fate of Palestine solidarity activities in Britain at a time when simply wearing a Palestinian flag could see you expelled from school or branded a racist. Rob Carter has more.
British Muslim advocacy group CAGE is preparing to go to war with the British government after announcing a legal bid against Education Minister Gavin Williamson over what they call discriminatory guidance to school leaders on Palestine. CAGE say the letter issued by Williamson on May the 28th amounted to a disgraceful censorship of political dissent in schools and discriminated against students by infringing their rights to freedom of expression.
CAGE has seen nearly 50 cases of people, of students, who've been targeted in their schools for speaking openly about Palestine and defending the rights of the Palestinian people to defend themselves against a system of apartheid and oppression and occupation.
The government's crackdown on Palestine solidarity in UK schools occurred during the huge global outrage over Israel's relentless attacks against worshippers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque and civilians in Gaza last May. Williamson's letter warned teachers to remain impartial on the conflict, but also warned of concerning rise in anti-Semitic incidents. However, CAGE believe this is censorship cloaked by bogus accusations of anti-Semitism.
It is definitely becoming more of the case that speaking on the issue of Palestine, advocating for the rights of the Palestinian people, exposing the crimes of the Israeli apartheid regime, these are becoming increasingly issues which are criminalized, issues which are securitized, dealt with very punitive measures, whether in schools, whether in public spaces, or the debate about it is completely hounded out of the public space, such that these issues are silenced and they are unheard.
CAGE are confident of success, as they believe that the government's position on this topic won't hold water if confronted in the courts. And many people are hoping for success here, as the way things are going now, many critics claim and fear that it could become essentially illegal to support the Palestinian cause publicly in the not-too-distant future, unless court battles like this are won now. Robert Carter, London.
Tunisian security forces have arrested two lawmakers opposed to a power grab by President Kais Saied. While rights groups have expressed concern over the arrest, the president says the move is part of his administration's attempt to fight corruption. Amir Bouka has more from Tunis.
Few hours after President Kais Saied's decisions were published in the official Gazette, Tunisian security forces arrested lawmaker Yassine Ayari to serve a two-month jail term handed down to him by a military court in 2018.
Everyone who erred must be held accountable, but a civilian may not be tried in a military court. Everyone who committed a crime must be arrested regardless of the circumstances of the trial.
Judge Bashir Al-Akrami was placed under house arrest after being accused of covering up terror-related files, obstructing investigations into them, and violating the law regarding the files of political assassinations. Hours later, security forces raided homes of other lawmakers to implement rulings issued by the military judiciary, including Muhammad Al-Afis, Saifuddin Makhlouf, Abdul Latif Al-Alwi, and Maher Zaid, who was arrested and then released.
May God bless the president. We thank Qais Saied. We thank him for the decisions. Poverty and unemployment have overwhelmed us. I'm a Tunisian woman begging for money to buy medicine, and even my husband's salary has been seized.
About lifting the immunity of the deputies, I neither agree to nor oppose the decision. I support the enforcement of law.
On August 2nd, Tunisian security forces arrested Member of Parliament Faisal Tibini under summons issued by the first instance court in the state of Jandouba. Tibini was charged with spreading false news and offending others through social media. He also faces three other similar charges. Raids and arrested lawmakers to implement rulings issued by the military judiciary have opened the door to accusations against Saied, while leading political parties in Tunisia accuse the president of orchestrating a coup. Rights activists are concerned that the measures could open the door to further violations of citizens' freedoms.
Raids, arrests, and placing a deputy in prison to implement a ruling issued by the military judiciary opened the door to accusations against Saied, leading political parties in Tunisia accuse him of a coup. Amir Bouka, Tunis.
And that is it for World News.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
In the limelight. With a number of migrants crossing the southern border surging and the pandemic proving to be far from over, the Biden administration has decided to leave in place for now the public health rule that has allowed it to turn away hundreds of thousands of migrants, officials confirmed. Citing new concerns about the spread of the coronavirus, the Biden administration will continue to roll out for now on a Trump-era policy. The article you're about to hear has been written by the New York Times journalists Eileen Sullivan, Zolan Kano-Young, and Miriam Jordan. The piece is titled, Biden Administration to Keep Using Public Health Rule to Turn Away Migrants. A number of migrants crossing the southern border surging and the pandemic proving to be far from over, the Biden administration has decided to leave in place for now the public health rule that has allowed it to turn away hundreds of thousands of migrants, officials confirmed. The decision, confirmed by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, on Monday, 2nd of August, amounted to a shift by the administration, which had been working on plans to begin lifting the rule this summer, more than a year after it was imposed by the Trump administration. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, said allowing non-citizens to come over the border from either Mexico or Canada creates a serious danger of further spread of the coronavirus. President Joe Biden has come under intense pressure for months from some Democrats and supporters of more liberal immigration policies to lift the rule, which critics say has been employed less to protect public health than as a politically defensible way to limit immigration. The recent spread of the highly transmissible Delta variant of the coronavirus has bolstered the argument that the public health rule, known as Title 42, remains necessary to contain the coronavirus. And the virus's quickening spread comes as border officials are so overwhelmed with the persistent pace of illegal migration that they say that allowing more migrants into the country by lifting the rule poses the threat of a humanitarian crisis. Monday, 2nd of August, the American Civil Liberties Union said it would move forward with a lawsuit seeking to force the administration to lift the public health order for migrant families after months of negotiations with the ultimate goal of ending the policy, one of the group's lawyers confirmed. It is now clear that there is no immediate plan to do that. Lee Gallant of the American Civil Liberties Union, the lead lawyer of the case, said in a statement on Monday. The administration made repeated public statements that it just needed some time to build back the asylum system the Trump administration depleted. We gave them 7 months. That time is up. While the administration has used the rule to rapidly turn around single adults and many migrant families, it has not applied the restriction to migrant children arriving alone at the southern border, in a departure from the Trump administration. In a court filing on Monday, 2nd of August, responding to the American Civil Liberties Union's lawsuit, the administration said that blocking enforcement of the rule now would lead to the immigration system being further overwhelmed by asylum seekers and to even more overcrowded and unsafe conditions in border facilities. Overcrowding at the southern border stations makes it difficult to impose public health precautions like social distancing, the filing said, noting that more migrants have been testing positive for the coronavirus. More border officers are testing positive as well. Keeping the public health order in place, David Shahulian, the Assistant Secretary for Border and Immigration Policy at the Department of Homeland Security, said in the filing, is critical given the current conditions. President Biden campaigned on returning compassion to the country's immigration system and undoing the policies of his predecessor, Donald J. Trump, that significantly limited the number of asylum seekers the country would consider. That goal has proved difficult to achieve, leaving the White House under fire from the left for not moving aggressively enough to undo Donald Trump's legacy, even as Republicans accused Joe Biden of creating a crisis on the border, by suggesting that he will make it easier for many people to get a shot at entering the United States. President Biden has laid out a proposal for immigration law changes that includes a path to citizenship for some migrants already in the United States, but there is little hope of passing sweeping changes to the laws through bipartisan negotiation. So Democrats instead hope to use a budget-related legislative process to bypass Republican opposition. Over the weekend, the administration stepped up enforcement at the southern border, sending more officers to help border officials with lengthy processing necessary to bring migrants into the country and start making a case that they need asylum, the administration said in its court filing. To help relieve the backup, immigration officers are bringing more families to family detention centers, using the facilities as temporary shelters. The agency entered into a new contract to add more than 1,200 beds to its family housing capacity. The number of migrants crossing the southern border between the United States and Mexico exceeded the traditional seasonal spring surge in migration earlier this year, and the pace did not slow down with the arrival of the oppressive heat of the summer months. The number of times border officials caught migrants crossing illegally in June was the highest monthly figure since April of 2000. And the administration said preliminary figures for July indicate another new high. Just a few weeks ago, the administration was considering a plan to lift the public health rule for migrant families as early as the end of July, and later for single adults, who make up the bulk of the migrants who have been turned away since the beginning of the pandemic. Delaying those plans, possibly through to the end of the year, is sure to be welcomed by Republicans who have proposed legislation to maintain the rule for as long as necessary. But doing so also fuels Republican arguments that the southern border is in a state of crisis. Despite the public health rule, many migrant families have been allowed to enter the United States this year. The Biden administration has been able to enforce the rule in some areas of the border, but not others, such as southern Texas, in part because of a lack of shelter capacity in Mexico. And some migrant families have also been allowed to enter the country because of special exemptions, including migrants identified as vulnerable by advocacy groups and international organizations. But the varying degrees of enforcement of the public health rule have sown confusion among migrants and driven many to make repeated efforts at getting into the United States, despite pleas from the Biden White House not to. More than a third of the crossings tracked by Customs and Border Protection CBP in June were attempted by a repeat crosser. While the Border Patrol typically process migrants who cross the border illegally, the sheer number of people who have been crossing into Texas in the Rio Grande Valley, many of whom are Central American families fleeing violence and poverty, has led the administration to send police officers from Immigration and Customs Enforcement to assist with those duties and expand testing for the coronavirus. Two of the enforcement agencies' family detention centers are being used as expanded temporary shelters where families can stay until their processing is complete, a Biden administration official confirmed. Democrats were highly critical of Donald Trump's handling of a similar surge in 2019 when he proposed a regulation to indefinitely detain migrant families caught crossing the border illegally. The rule would have replaced a decades-old court agreement that requires a certain level of care for migrant children and a 20-day limit for how long they can be held in custody. In March, the Biden administration announced plans to hold migrant families for only 72 hours, a stark departure from the policies of both the Obama and the Trump administrations. Neither the Department of Homeland Security or Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, responded to questions about the length of time the government planned to hold families in the detention centers turned temporary processing hubs so migrants are not waiting for days outside. We will be monitoring whether short-term processing and testing of families turns into longer-term detention, Mr. Gallant of the American Civil Liberties Union said.
The gate of knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of the Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic called the Charter of Islamic Governance. And this is a topic of a lot of importance, especially in this era whereby there are important issues that need to be addressed, especially with regards to how societies grow and how they are governed. And one of the most important societies that are there existing today in the world is the Islamic societies, or the Muslim Ummah as a whole. Because the Muslim Ummah, the Islamic societies all together form the Muslim Ummah, which is a one united body. And in the previous session, we talked about one of the important tenets that is there in this charter of Islamic governance, and that is to understand that the Prophet ﷺ's invitation was towards the truth. And we said that towards the truth means that the message of the Prophet, the message of the Quran, is such that it is in complete compatibility and conformity with the nature of human existence, with the nature of the universe and how the universe exists. And that makes the message of Islam a message that is ever living, that is that spans over a whole lifetime and can never be they can never be limited or confined to a specific a point in time only.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, another discussion that I would like to hold today is regarding the purpose of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the purposes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's arrival or his prophethood was to remove people from the worshipping of idols and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Ali alayhi salam in the sermon says, لِيُخْرِجَ عِبَادَهُ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْأَوْثَانِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَتِهِ. Remember that we are discussing the 147th sermon of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha, and this is one of the foremost phrases in this sermon. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, لِيُخْرِجَ عِبَادَهُ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْأَوْثَانِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَتِهِ. That the Prophet was sent for this purpose. First of all, he was sent with the truth, or to bring about the truth, which means that to bring a message that is in complete compatibility with the human existence and the whole universe. And secondly, to remove people from worshipping idols. What does this mean? This special slave of God, this messenger of God, what was he supposed to do when we are saying that he was supposed to bring people out from the worshipping of idols? Was it that he was just supposed to remove people and cause the people to come out of this state of worshipping idols, these stone idols, these idols that were made up of wood, that were made up of, for example, some beautiful stones? Or was it something else? Rather, it seems like there was a higher purpose also, because these idols were made by certain people, and those people had some intention behind making these idols. There was a theory, there was an ideology behind these idols. And that ideology, that thought, those principles, those theoretical principles that were behind the reason why this man or this person created this idol, is what we need to stay away from. So now, this person, let's say, created this idol and invited people to worship this idol. It was under the basis of the love of the world, under the basis of a certain wretched ideology that this person wanted people to follow so as to achieve some material objectives.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Now, it is for this reason that we realize that when Imam Ali alayhi salam says that the Prophet was sent to remove people from worshipping idols, it doesn't just mean from these idols that are made up of stone and brick and from wood. No, rather also from the idol makers, which are the actual idols. You see, today sometimes in this world also, we don't have idolatry as such, but we have other forms of shirk that are present. People nowadays, instead of worshipping these stone idols, they worship other things. Okay, but now, even in the time of the Prophet, when people used to worship the idols, there was a philosophy behind that worshipping, and that was a material philosophy, a philosophy of aggrandizing the world, of kind of being completely, absorbed into the world and making this material world the aim and goal of life, and causing certain people, without having any real honor, to be honorable, and other people who really were truly honorable in their hearts because of their good character, but they were humiliated by these people because of these ideologies that they created, these material ideologies. And that is why if the Pharaoh himself, he had his own statues everywhere, and people used to worship those statues, but the actual worship one was the Pharaoh himself. And similarly, these idols also, there's a philosophy behind them, there are people behind them that call people towards these, the worshipping these idols, so that they can control them. Now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Imam Ali alayhi salam says, go away from worshipping idols, he also means these idol makers and these people who create these wrong and false ideologies. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us stay away from these wrong actions. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لم الفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
In the limelight.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, the chief White House medical advisor who has clashed publicly with Florida's governor, Ron DeSantis, told CBS's Face the Nation program wearing face masks to combat COVID was a responsibility to society, and that data from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, and the American Academy of Pediatrics supported masks in schools. We'll prepare for you an article written by Richard Luscombe. The piece is titled Fauci Backs New Mask Guidance as Florida Reports Highest One-Day COVID Case Total. The article has been taken from a British newspaper, The Guardian. Florida's ban on mask mandates came under increasing scrutiny from public health officials on Sunday, 1st of August, as a surging Delta variant pushed new daily cases of COVID-19 in the state to a record high. The 21,683 new cases reported on Saturday, 31st of July, was Florida's highest one-day total since the start of the pandemic. It came a day after Governor Ron DeSantis signed an executive order prohibiting school districts from requiring staff and students to wear face masks. On Sunday, 1st of August, the state broke its previous record for hospitalizations, also set more than a year ago. Dr. Francis Collins, director of the National Institutes of Health, told CNN's State of the Union program he was baffled by the prohibition on requiring face masks in schools, the latest in a series of autocratic moves by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, including outlawing vaccine passports and stripping local authorities of the power to issue restrictions or mandates. Dr. Francis Collins, director of the National Institute of Health, said, "I don't understand the ban. Certainly, this seems like something local officials ought to be able to decide based on their community's circumstance." He added, "We do know that children are capable of getting pretty sick. We've lost about 400 children who have died from COVID-19 since this all started. And kids can also get long COVID, where they end up months later with difficulties with brain fog and fatigue that interferes with their school performance." Dr. Francis Collins noted, "So this is not to be just dismissed as a zero risk. Kids also live in homes, are related to people in those homes who are perhaps immunosuppressed. They could bring home the virus and cause bad outcomes." Also on Sunday, 1st of August, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the chief White House medical advisor, took issue with the portrayal by Florida Governor Ron DeSantis prominent Trump ally and potential Republican presidential nominee in 2024, that the ban was a protection of individual freedoms. Florida Governor DeSantis said on Friday, 30th of July, the federal government has no right to tell parents that in order for their kids to attend school in person, they must be forced to wear a face mask all day, every day. Anthony Fauci, who has clashed publicly with Ron DeSantis, told CBS's Face the Nation program wearing face masks to combat COVID was a responsibility to society, and that data from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, and the American Academy of Pediatrics supported wearing face masks in schools. Anthony Fauci said, "You understand people feeling that they have the individual right to make their own decisions, and I respect that for sure. But the issue is, if you're going to be part of the transmission chain to someone else, then your decision is impacting someone else." He added, "It's not only impacting you, and you've got to think about it, that you're a member of society and you have a responsibility." Vaccinated people can carry high levels of the virus and transmit the infection to the unvaccinated. Data that prompted the Center for Disease Control and Prevention to amend guidance and recommend the vaccinated people wear face masks indoors in areas where transmission and infection rates are high. Dr. Fauci added, "If you get breakthrough infections in individuals who are vaccinated and they don't spread at all to anybody else, you would not worry." He added, "If they went home to a vulnerable person in the household, children or an elderly person, there wouldn't be any issue." Dr. Anthony Fauci noted, "But we know now that they can transmit when they get breakthrough infections, even though they have minimal symptoms or no symptoms at all. We know they can do it. We know the mechanistic reason for it is that the level of viruses is high, so you want to make sure you don't get infected. That's the fundamental basis for the CDC modifying its guidelines." On ABC's This Week program, Dr. Anthony Fauci said he saw no need for a return to lockdowns, but said, "We're looking to some pain and suffering in the future because we're seeing the cases go up, which is the reason why we keep saying over and over again the solution to this is to get vaccinated, and this would not be happening." As the highly contagious Delta variant of the coronavirus spreads, Florida has become the new U.S. epicenter of the virus, accounting for about one-fifth of all new cases. The spike was a substantial leap from 17,093 the day before and surpassed the previous high of 19,334 set in January before vaccines became widely available. Courthouses, theme parks, and numerous businesses are again requiring the public to wear face masks indoors. Disney World added a requirement that workers must be vaccinated. Universal Orlando Resort said all workers have to be masked indoors and that guests should follow CDC guidelines. Florida ranks about halfway in vaccinations with 48.8% of residents over the age of 12 fully vaccinated and 57.5% having received at least one dose of the vaccine. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has urged residents to get vaccinated but has mocked CDC guidance on masking and dismissed the surge as seasonal. Hospitals say they are being overwhelmed by admissions mostly of younger unvaccinated patients. Over the last days, 409 Floridans have died of COVID-19, with a total now above 39,000. The previous record for COVID hospitalizations in Florida was set on 23rd of July last year. According to the Florida Hospital Association, Florida then had 10,170. The state leads the United States in per capita hospitalizations. In the recent days, it has averaged 1,525 adult and 35 pediatric hospitalizations a day. Dr. Francis Collins also noted that other states, including Louisiana, Missouri, and Tennessee, were experiencing significant upticks in infections, saying the virus was having a pretty big party in the middle of the country. Dr. Francis Collins told Fox News Channel on Sunday, "We're all determined to avoid lockdowns, but if we're going to be able to continue, whether in business or in school, to do things that we all really value, putting face masks on is the best way to ensure that things don't get worse. It seems like a sacrifice worth making." He said, "We've made a lot of progress here compared to where we were a year ago, but we just don't want to do silly things to cause the Delta virus to come back even stronger."
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 41 meters, 7410 kilohertz for Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Now, I've said this before, that the word hadith comes from the word hadatha. Now, hadatha also means something that comes about. So some people say, you know, yahduth or something like that. It means something occurred, something happened. So on this day, you know, a day which is a glorious day in the Islamic tradition, where it is an event that all Muslims accept. It is not only an event that has been mentioned, according to some scholars, it is a mutawatir hadith. It is a hadith that cannot be denied from both the Shia text and the Sunni text. The Holy Quran also mentions it. The event of Mubahila, the event where the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, together with his closest of people, went where he went in order to defend Islam and to spread Islam and to show the truth of Islam, the haqaniyat of Islam, the reality of Islam, without any hesitation, took his closest of family members into the most dangerous of positions. But that itself was a sign. The event is this. The event is narrated in Surah Ali Imran, verse number 61, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after obviously we know that the Christians of Najran came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked the Holy Prophet, what are you inviting us to? And there was a whole discussion and so on and so forth. But my point is not about the discussion or the verse. It's about something that happened before that. Anyway, just to mention the verse says this, that, you know, come, let us call our sons and your sons, our woman and your woman, our souls and your souls. Then let us pray earnestly and call down Allah's curse upon the liars. And this is the verse of Mubahila, Surah Ali Imran, verse number 61. So this tradition from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam at the time of this verse is very important for us to understand in how unity is formed. That how the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam respected a group of individuals of another religion. So what happened? And the Imam relates that these Christians from Najran came. There was a group of them. Some of them were the leaders of the group. One of them name was Sayyid, another one's name was Aqib. And they went to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there was a bit of a discussion. And then it was time for them to pray. So according to some traditions, they were leaving, or you know, they wanted to have it in the masjid. That is Masjid al-Nabi, right? And now we talk about the Holy Prophet's masjid in Medina. So they wanted to pray, and they had what is known as a trumpet. They wanted to blow the trumpet and do whatever they want. So the companions asked the Holy Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, you're allowing them in the masjid? Some traditions have narrated that they were leaving, and the Holy Prophet said, call them back. Let them do their ibadat here in the masjid. Look at the beauty of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is a place of prayer. Just let us, you know, be, you know, welcoming. Let us be easy. Let's not be harsh. They might be of a different religion, but they are still praying at least. Let's show them kindness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to learn these small things from Mubahila. And not just make it a thing only about Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi wa sallam, even though it is very important about Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa sallam. There are other things within Mubahila that we can learn from. InshaAllah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no
This is this.